So I was asking the Lord this morning, what's for tithes and offering today, Lord? And I wasn't thinking at all about who would be here today. And so it's just funny to me how things get highlighted that seem to fit quite well to the situations at hand. I guess get the nuts and bolts out of the way. This is tithes and offering. So during the next song, we'll... this is for the regular tithes and offering. It's not part of what's going on with these guys. So you could give up here in the basket during the next song, or in the back in the boxes, or online, akbridgeofhope.com. So I was reading in Isaiah this morning, and I've been in Isaiah quite a bit lately. So you get to go on the journey with me here this morning a little bit. I'm in Isaiah 40, excuse me, 40, verse 28 through 31. I'm in the Passion Translation. I don't know if any of you are reading the Passion Translation much, but something I really like about it is it's got some awesome footnotes. And the footnotes are what are really speaking to me today in this. And so I'm going to jump into those here in a second. But I'll just start at the top here, verse 28. Don't you know? Haven't you been listening? Yahweh is the one and only everlasting God, the creator of all you can see and imagine. He never gets weary or worn out. His intelligence is unlimited. He is never puzzled over what to do. He empowers the feeble and infuses the powerless with increasing strength. Even young people faint and get exhausted. Athletic ones may stumble and fall. But those who entwine their hearts with Yahweh will experience divine strength. They will rise up on soaring wings and fly like eagles, run their race without growing weary, and walk through life without giving up. So I went back and looked at the footnote for entwine. Wait on Yahweh. The Hebrew word for wait means to tie, twist, bind, entwine, to make a rope. Waiting on God is never passive. It is binding our hearts together as we wait for God's plan to unfold. Another footnote, divine strength. Or will grow new feathers like eagles, or renew their strength. An eagle has the longest lifespan of any bird. I think I'll stop there. So, Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this opportunity to grow new feathers, Father. Grow new feathers as we sow into the kingdom, sow into your purposes, sow into your destiny for ourselves, for our community, for our nation, for the world. Together, Lord. Yes, Lord. Amen.
Well, you can go ahead and come and give. I want to share something really quick that to bring maybe some clarity to something. Oftentimes when we hear things like what Jonathan said, I don't know if you're like me, but when I was young, I was taught things like hearing words like Mother Earth, things like it pricks something that makes you go, I don't like that. I don't like the way that sounds. I don't like the way that feels. I don't like the way... So I want to share just a couple things. First, there has been an overwhelming amount of teaching over years and years that the earth is going to perish and go away anyway, so why take care of it? Take care of you. Don't worry about anything else. Just hold on till Jesus comes. And when he comes, we're out of here. The earth can crash and burn, and who cares? But the earth was given to us as men to steward and to take dominion over, to have as something that we were entrusted with, not to just blow off and go off, who cares? And God created. I mean, the reality is, we have no problem saying things like, I believe that God put on the earth everything we need to find ourselves. Like if we're sick, there are plants, there are different things that God put on the earth to bring healing. And if we push those things away and we disregard or we don't care about what's happening in the environment or we don't care, we become a part of the problem instead of a part of a solution, which, again, God entrusted to us to take care of. And so I just wanted to bring a little bit of understanding because, again, sometimes we tend to kind of hear things like that and go, oh, I don't like the way that felt. I don't like the way that sounded. But I know the heart of what you were speaking in. And so you received that? Okay. So now everybody stand up. And I want you to go ahead and end this next song. Again, this is tithes and offerings of this house. I am going to take another offering here in a little bit for Broken Walls. And so as the Lord leads you, I just want you to, for Broken Walls, carry the cure. Yeah, I don't know. They're kind of one in a lot of ways. So, but I'm going to bring some distinction to that here in a little bit. So.
So this is a song, I know you're going to do offering to it, so it's a very sober song. It's a song that declares life as a sacred gift. It's another new song on the new album. And as you know, we have like anywhere between 4 and 11 times the national average of suicide in our indigenous villages across North America. And we aim to put a stop to that. That's what Carry the Cure is all about. We're here to carry that message that life is a sacred and valuable thing. No matter who you are, God sees you as his kids. And so we're going out to carry that message. And this is a song I wrote in regards to that.
I promise the next time we do this, we'll have practiced, and we'll actually know the songs better. We have to promise. I'm going to unplug my guitar. Oh, no, sorry. I'll leave it in because I'm going to be using it over this next Thursday.
Hey, what's the EAT? I hear it. Yeah, Yachicha, Iwasani. Yeah, Suje, Yikwakakin. It's good to see you again, yeah. I know I was back there, you know, hidden. It just amazes me that even though those aren't like live drums or electronic drums, you still have a cage. Totally drummer cruelty. But, you know, just a couple things as we transition. Jonathan's going to share today. I want to give you just a little bit more insight to this trip that we're about to go on. So you really catch the heart for this 13th annual Iditarod outreach. But you know, Jonathan said that story about him, the Lord telling him to breathe life into the man who was on life support. Remember that story? There are literally hundreds of people all across the state that are on life support right now. And they're waiting for one word, one positive thing, one reason to live. That's the condition of our state. These villages that we are going into, in three of them, we are literally the first group that's going into the village in 2 years. They have not had any outside groups, any outside support. They've had a couple of sports events, but even like in those sporting events, the parents can't even sit together. Only one parent can watch the basketball game or the volleyball game. This is how tough it's been in the lockdown. That's the scene in our villages right now. But I had one administrator, and he told me this. He said, Bill, he said, we've lost more people to suicide than to COVID. And we desperately need encouragement. We need hope. We need life. And so this particular administrator opened the door for the rest of the Iditarod trip. He went through three board meetings. One, the tribal council. Two, the COVID board. And then the school board. Just to get us in. The other villages kind of fell in suit behind that. So just to give you an idea of like, the condition, but also the favor, huh? Amen? And so I made this statement earlier just about like there's never, ever, ever, ever been a better time than now to share hope. And so as we go into this time, I want to read this scripture, okay? This is found in Romans chapter 10, 13 through 15. Go ahead and open your Bibles. Actually, you could if you wanted to. Because this is what we believe, that it's the infallible Word of God. This is what we stand on. Not our tricks, not our abilities, not any of that stuff, but the Word of God will stand forever. And God, you know, when He sends forth His word, you know, as it says in Isaiah 50, how it does not return void, that it accomplishes that which He sends it forth to do. And His word lives in us and in you. And so that's, you need to know that that's what we're all about. We're just trying to be that representative, that secret agent in some cases, going into the secular places to invade, you know, for the glory of God. But it says here in Romans 10, it says, everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord. Say everyone.
Everyone.
Yeah, I mean, that's black, white, polka dotted, or striped. That's, you know, short, tall, thin, and wide. Everyone. Say everyone.
Everyone.
Everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. But the word goes on to say, but how will they call upon the one who they have not believed? And how will they believe in the one that they have not heard? And how can they hear unless someone is to preach? And how can someone preach unless they are sent? For as it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. Amen? This is the word of the Lord. We are coming here to Bridge of Hope to be sent. We are launching from here to share His good news that we know will not return void. We are going from here to those places with that understanding. But we do not want to go unless we are sent. How could we? But when we are sent with your prayers, with your blessings, wow! Wow! You know what's really cool? This is what's really cool. The $35,000 that it takes to do this Iditarod outreach, we've done it for 13 years, right? This particular outreach. Each year, it takes a lot of effort to raise those funds. But I love this. When we get into the evening meeting where we can drop the J-bomb, we can say Jesus. In the schools, we're not allowed to say that. They feel it. They feel the Holy Ghost. I mean, it's you can't stop it, right? But in the evenings where we get to preach the good news, it's amazing. I love to tell them, you know, it took $35,000 to do this trip. You know, the two planes, all the equipment, this team from around the world. But guess what? How many of you think that it was the state of Alaska that financed this? Raise your hand. And a bunch of them, yeah, just like that, Pastor Zach, a bunch of them raise their hands. And they go, no. How about your native corporation? We love our native corporations. But how many think that it was a native corporation? A bunch of hands go up. And then, nope. This is how we got here. It was seven-year-olds. Breaking their piggy bank. Literally, I have received piggy banks, people, young kids, saving their money and saying, I want you to go to the villages of Alaska and share hope. It's elders getting their last $20, insisting that we take it in the name of the Lord and help other people. It's adults. It's people all across the state of Alaska giving 20, 200, 2,000 or more. It's the people of Alaska. And when I tell them that, and I said, guess what? It's not just the finances that have sent us here, but it's their prayers. It's their love. And they want you to know that you are loved, that you are beautiful in the eyes of your Creator. You're not an accident, a whoops, a mistake, or a loser, but they want you to know that there is a hope and a future and a good plan for your life. So this is what we get to tell them. This is the benefit when you give to carry the cure. You know, I need to tell you, I don't need your money. But like Paul says in Philippians 4, I've received all that I have. I have learned, you know, to be content. In good times, bad and ugly, all of that. I'm paraphrasing, right? But this sowing is what may be accredited to your account. Read the scripture. This is for your benefit. Because, man, we are going to see hundreds of people just like giving their lives to Jesus. And you get to be a part of that, you know, as you give, you know, whatever. If it's a penny, you know, I've had someone send me a penny and test my heart on this. It's like, I receive it. Whether it's a penny or whether it's 2,000 or more, it's all the same. If they are sowing, if they are giving with the right heart, man, it's going to God's glory. It's going to change lives. It really, it's not for me, but it's for you. It's for the kingdom of God. And this is that time and that season. There's never been a better time than now to share hope. So would you consider this, sometime today, just giving towards that? And there in the back on the table there in your entryway, in your four-way, there is a holy drum. A drum with a hole in it. You could give your 20, you can give your offering, you could write checks to carry the cure. There are some cards back there. You could, you know, scan that QR code with your phone and it would take you to a place online where you could donate online. But most importantly, guys, seriously, we want to be launched by you, sent by you. And so there are only a few of these I could, you know, send you this online. We ran out of these cards, but on the back there are some targeted prayers for you to pray for the team and for the people, okay? And just so you know, man, it's been a miracle. You know, we had five villages that were, like, set. I thought we were just locked in about 3 weeks ago that these are the villages that we're going to. The whole team was all excited, right? Carol, Darby, and Rita, and the rest of the team, we were all like, okay, this is where we're going. But then COVID broke out in a couple of these villages, and they said, I'm sorry, we can't have you now. And I'm going, what? Snap. And then I'm like, you know, I had to like scramble around. But then in one day's time, we had the villages totally locked in. Villages that weren't on our original radar. And it's amazing how God opened that door. So this is where we're going. We're going to start out on Monday. We're going to go to Togiak. And then from Togiak, we're going to go to Good News Bay. Now, we went to Good News Bay last year, and, man, it was amazing. It was like the first night, tons of people, right, Carol? They gave their hearts to Jesus. And then the next day, man, the Holy Ghost showed up. Man, we literally had lines of people. We had men on one side, women on the other, and we were just, you know, praying over them. I mean, it was literally a line that went from the front of the building, the platform, all the way out the door. People were getting filled with the Holy Ghost, getting blessed by God. It was amazing. But this year when we go back to Good News Bay, we'll give people a chance, of course, to recommit their faith, but we're going to baptize them. So we have some towels. We're going to dunk them for Jesus. And then, you know, of course, you know, we might slap some oil on them and then fill them with the Holy Ghost. Because how can you become, how can you have the power to witness, right, unless you're filled with the Spirit? Okay, anyway, so going on. Tuntutliak is the next village. We're going to be 2 days there. Okay, we're going to minister to half the village one day, half the village the other. That's just the way it's set up. It'll give the team a chance to just better make some better relationships. And we're going to finish in Tuksuk Bay on Friday. And Saturday, we'll fly back. Please pray for our safety. Pray for the favor of God. If you need some help learning knowing what to pray for, okay? You can do that. And I don't know anything else I need to say except for I want to introduce the team. Okay, Jonathan's going to do that. So, guys, I really want to tell you, Pastor Zach, I love you. I love your family. I love this church. I think you know that. But it is a complete honor to be connected to you. And just thank you again. And I like to say, Moosh, ho, ho! That's thank you very much.
Before Jonathan comes, I do want to dismiss the kiddos. So little ones, you guys can go ahead and head to the back door back there where Miss Susie's standing, and then head downstairs. I want to do a couple things before we're completely done. I would love to pray over your team at the end and just send you love on you. So I would like to do this so that we don't forget. I'm going to actually receive an offering for Carry the Cure down here. If you don't want to put it in here and you really feel like you want to put it in the holy drum back there, I'm totally good with that as well. But we believe in what these guys are doing. We always get behind them and do what we can to sow in and... So sometimes it's easy to leave and forget, like, oh, I wanted to do that and I forgot. So I'm going to give you an opportunity now to, you can write checks to carry the cure. If you've already written a check to Bridge of Hope, that's fine. We'll make sure that goes as well. But if you want to just make a check out to carry the cure, that's completely fine. There's also on our website, akbridgeofhope.com, on the PayPal link, the give link, there is a place for special speaker. You can click on that, and I'll make sure that goes to them too. If you don't have a check or cash and you still want to give that way, you can do that. And so I just want to make sure that we sow into this the best we can. And again, like I said, sometimes we leave and we forget to, we want to, but we forget. And so I'm going to pray over this, and then I'm going to ask Jonathan to come and introduce the team. So, Father, thank you for increase. Thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to sow and bless the state of Alaska through sending these guys in to the villages of Alaska. Lord, we just declare and proclaim a harvest in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, that we are blessed to be able to be a blessing to these guys. And so, Father, I pray for just an abundance, an overflow, an increase, Lord. We don't want to think small. We want this to explode and expand in Jesus' name. So we receive the blessing of giving in Jesus' name. Amen. You guys can stand up, come and give, and then Jonathan will jump in from here. So.
So, I'm going to turn 67 this year in just a couple months. So that's my excuse, that's my default for not having introduced the rest of the team when I was supposed to introduce the team. And I heard Carol was giving me the stink eye. And when I came off, she was really giving it to me. So Darby and Rita and Carol are three lovely ladies over here. Carol has been traveling with us. She's gone overseas with us. And she's just been such a source of encouragement to us. And I know that it's gone back and forth. We've been able to encourage each other as brothers, sisters, and family. And Darby, you're a new member of the team. And we're so excited to have her with us because she's sitting between Carol and Rita. And she is going to learn so much from them. Just imagine life's experience that can be handed on to someone who's younger. Sure, she's already got experience in her life already, but there's going to be things that she's going to be able to be given through Carol and Rita that are going to just be so special. She's going to come back from this trip, never be the same. And Rita Bear Gray, one of my best friends in the whole world, she has traveled with me. We've gone all over the world together, and I'm so happy to have her here. She, you know, I probably need to say, Rita lost her husband just a few weeks ago, and he passed away suddenly. He went in for an operation, and he was given the go that he was going to heal up. Everything went good. And he passed away the next day, wasn't it? Passed away the next day. Some complications happened. And you know, you might wonder, well, what the heck is she doing here? She came to be with friends. She came because she knows she's in a place where she can minister, because that's what Larry would want her to be doing. And she's here with us, and we love her boundlessly, and we're all like, you know, so I just want you to know that as you pray, you just think about Rita and think about the loss that she's just suffered. 5 months she was married, and now she's here with us, and she thinks that coming to Alaska was going to be a good thing for her. I take that as a compliment, you guys. I really would. I really would. And we're going to love on her. We're going to keep her healthy and strong as we go. And so, anyway, so you have Carol, Darby, and Rita. And that's the rest of our team. And I'm almost 67, and that's why I forgot about them. You know, it's funny. I'm getting older, but I just feel like I feel great. I feel like I'm ready to rip snort, you know, for the next little while. So we'll see if my wife is in agreement with me, because that's where it all really matters. So you can put that first slide up. How long do you want me to go? Okay. Well, I'm going to try and be sensitive. Okay. That doesn't look like my picture. Okay. No, that's the song you have up, right? There we go. Okay, yeah. So, yeah, I don't want the song up there right now. We're going to do the drum song at the end. I lied to you guys. I said I was going to do the drum first and then go, but I want to get right to it. And so I'm going to have to stand over here. So in Ezekiel 47, the scripture says, I think you can read it, the man brought back to the entrance to the temple, and I saw water coming out from under the threshold of the temple toward the east. Now it was a river that I could not cross. And he asked me, Son of man, do you see this? Where the river flows, everything will live. Woo! Bill, we're taking the river. We're taking the river, and where we go, we are the river, because we have Jesus in our hearts. We're going to carry that river, we're going to flow in that river, and we're going to be reaching out our hands, and we're going to be inviting people into the river. Next slide. In this river, true sons and daughters gather without regard to their differences. So just imagine, scripture in 2 Chronicles 5:11, one of my favorite scriptures in the Word, because it says, and the priests gathered together and entered into the most holy place without regard to their differences. There's so many differences that man or man-made that separate us. Oh, somebody's a little richer than we are. Somebody's got a little different skin color. Or somebody does things in a different way, different traditions. And we have these preconceived notions that put them in a box. But in the river, there's no boxes. In the river, we're brothers and sisters across all of our man-made differences. Next slide. At the rate I'm going, it's not going to take long. We are one. So that was a plan for that song to be played at this point. But I'm gonna just keep going here. So I wrote a new drum song that happens to be on the new album, and it's called We Are One. Maybe I'll sing it for you. It goes, You way, oh God, you way. You way, oh God, you way. You way, oh God, you way. You way, oh God, you way, oh hey, ah. You way, oh hey, ah, God, you way. Creator, we are one. We thank you for your Son who died upon the tree so we could be made free. So we could be made free. You way, oh God, you way. You way, oh God, you way. You way, oh God, you way. You way, oh God, you way, oh hey, ah. You way, oh hey, ah, God, you way. For you we beat this drum. For you we sing this song. We dance this dance for you. Cause you are the Holy One. Yes, you are the Holy One. You way, oh God, you way. You way, oh God, you way. You way, oh God, you way. You way, oh God, you way, oh hey, ah. You way, oh hey, ah, God, you way. Woo. So imagine that's powerful on the drum. The team's going to be doing that over this weekend. So you can invite people in. And the thing is what we need to see ourselves is as a family. So when you invite somebody into the river, we have to start realizing that they've become a part of the family if they come into the river. If they accept Jesus, then as family, we need to treat them as family. And they no longer are held back because they're a little different or all these things. Once we're in the river, we are one. We are one. They gain all the access and privileges to the family. Ah, that's a whole other ball game there. Because only certain people are supposed to have access in man's thinking. But in God's thinking, when we climb into the river with Jesus, then we all have access to the good things that God has provided for His children. Right? Right? So, a friend and a friend who is closer than a brother is the other thing we gain. For me, when Jesus came into my life, that was probably the most important thing because I thought that I was the loneliest person in the world. I thought there was nobody that could be more lonely than me because everything had fallen apart around me. Everything that I strived for, I was good at a whole bunch of things, but nothing mattered anymore. I lost all desire to live myself personally. I became suicidal. And then I met Jesus. And it was the most amazing thing that ever took place because He was right there beside me. When I felt doubt, when I felt fear, when I felt things like that, He was there. And I just needed to say, Jesus, help me. How many times have you guys said, Jesus, help me? When I was watching the news, and I was watching President of Ukraine, what's his name? Kalinsky. When I was listening to him speak, and I saw that video as he addressed Congress, and I saw the things that were going on in his country, all I could say was, Jesus. Jesus. You know, we heard in the years past, you know, Ukraine was a country that really had a lot of issues. And there were a lot of mean people, there was a lot of deceit and all these different things. I'm not saying that this is anything other than the fact that they have an opportunity too. They're losing so many people. So many people are gone. But God just touched my heart as I watched that video. And I cried and I just said, Jesus, don't be ashamed when you get to that place where you need to say, Jesus, help me. Because in a capitalistic society, we think we can do everything ourselves. We can make lots of money. We can build nice houses. We can have them fully functioning. But there comes a point when our stuff just won't cut it. There comes a point when our material wealth just falls by the wayside. And the most important to us is love. The most important to us is being wanted and needed. And so many times when we're lonely, we get this feeling like nobody wants me, nobody needs me anymore. But when you accept Jesus, He becomes a friend that's closer than a brother. And that's the message we're going to be carrying as we go to the villages. And we're going to be exampling it among our team. Because one of the mandates within Carry the Cure and our team as we go is that we show complete love to one another. We don't get into debates. We don't get into you did this or you did that or any of those things. What we do is we put Jesus first. We put the mission first. And we go in and we carry an example of uncompromised love. That's what we aim for, right, Bill? That's what we aim for. Okay, next slide. So, are you willing to share the love is the next question. I know you're in a cool church. You got Zach and Sage. You just got a church that's, you know, you come, you love Jesus, you sing the songs. But at that moment, when you're out there in the world and somebody needs to hear about the love of Jesus, are you willing? Do you have the courage to say, Jesus loves you? Do you have the courage to suffer somebody giving you a hard time because you admit that you love Jesus? So my father was a traditional Mohawk. He lived a traditional life. He did all the things a traditional way, not a Christian. But so many say that a true traditional person really is in connection with the Creator. But the misconception was that either you were a Christian or you were traditional. And my father's friends were going to this camp meeting that was just in the town next door. And so as they were going to this, they were the traditional guys that he hung out with, that they did the drum songs and the dance songs, the ceremonies according to our native culture. And they weren't coming to the longhouse to be with my dad during ceremony. They were going off to this camp meeting down the road. And my dad was like getting really angry. Pissed off was the word. I shouldn't say that from here. But that was how he felt. He was really angry. And he was so mad that he was going to go down and beat up the preacher. You'd say that's pissed off, right? So anyway, he goes down to the camp meeting, and he said right before he went in, he took a deep breath, then he flipped back the flap of the tent, and he walked in, and he said, and this is his exact words, he said, I fixed my eyes on the preacher, and I started towards him down the aisle. He said, and as I was going down the aisle, this little old lady stepped out and said, son, drop to your knees and cry out to Jesus and ask him to come into your heart and tell him you're a hopeless sinner. A little old lady. Somebody that probably we think has not a whole lot of value left. She's just living out her life. But she stepped out and she stopped somebody who was going to go kill the preacher. In front of everybody, that's how angry he was. And when she said that, he said there was nothing else he could do but obey his elder. Native people have this thing about elders, you know. And when the elder said, fall to your knees and cry out to Jesus, he said it was just as though somebody, remember in school, somebody comes behind and hits you, and he said, I went right down my knees. He said, my arms flew up, and it was like, ho, you know, like, what's going on here? And Jesus came into his life. And my father became an evangelist, an apostle. He started 13 churches. He raised people from the dead. He just did tons of stuff. He's got a history. People really honor him in our communities from my area because he stood up for what he believed. But when Jesus came into his life, he gained a friend that was closer than a brother. And then, yeah, I don't want to get ahead of myself. I almost gave up the next slide. So that little old lady is the one I want to concentrate on, not my dad. Because if a little old lady that's 80 years old can step out in front of an angry Mohawk going to beat somebody up, you know, there's a way I would describe that in the world that I won't say it right now. But she's got the stuff. And so we want you to have the little old lady stuff. We want you to have what the little old ladies can have when they operate within the power that the Holy Spirit has given to them. Because when they speak, there should be this authority that comes out. And that authority is meant for each one of us, even if we're 10 years old. If Jesus is in our heart, then we should be able to speak the power of God. Right? Okay. So our Creator loves this world so much that He gave His only Son. Next. So some 50 years later, I was suicidal. I didn't know what to do. And I walked into a little church. That might be my guitar doing that. I'm not sure. That's the thunder? Yeah. I walked into this little church in Winter Garden, Florida. And I only walked in that church not because I wanted to be there, but because my mother wanted me to go to church this morning. And I had come to her place, and I refused to have anything to do with church. I said, I just want to be home with you and Dad. I had flown over from California, and I was with my parents just because I was heartbroken. I was lonely, and I needed to be with somebody who I knew loved me, and my mom loved me, you know. And she expressed it through turkeys and pies and everything that a mother could do to make sure her son was happy. And she took care of me for that week. And at the end of the week, I refused to go to church with them because Mom and Dad went to church every time there was a door open. They would be there to go and worship and do it. So they were gone every night. You know, I'm at their place and they were gone every night. And I would go, nope, not going, not interested. Sunday morning came and my mother sticks her head in the door and says, son, you need to come with us. I want you to, if you could come for this last day. And I thought, man, she's fed me all the best food. She's cooked everything I like. She's done nothing but good. I've got to do this for my mom. So I went down to the church. I was sitting in the back of the car. Mom and Dad got out of the car. They went in. They didn't force me. They didn't talk to me. I'm sitting in the back seat of the car thinking, what the heck have I got myself into? You know, now I've got to go into that church because I told my mom I would. And I walked into that church, and there was a little old lady. I'm telling you, she was like probably 80 years old. And she just walked right up to me as bold as brass, and she said, I love you. And she, Southern accent, right? Why do you love me? Because Jesus told me to. And the power of God came on me, and I started to cry. I'm just standing there in this vestibule with this little old lady. This service was going on because I had sat in the car long enough, you know, and I just felt the love of Jesus, and it just felt as though the addictions that I had to drugs, the alcohol, all those different things, the loneliness, all just drained right out of my feet. And I just walked in there, and I cried. I didn't hear a word that the preacher said. All I did was just sit there basking in this new presence that I had never felt before. And that was my life-changing experience. That was when I stepped into the river of life. That river of life is there for you. Little old ladies, I want to charge you up if you are a little old lady. But all of you guys that are younger and all, we need to take on that mantle. My father and myself, it had to be an elder that did it to us, I guess. You know, but when that power came, it didn't take somebody that was preaching at me like this. It just took somebody that had it in here from the river, just giving it to me, you know. And so that's what I'm saying to you. We don't have to be a great preacher. All we have to do is put out our hand and invite them to have what you have, right? So I would never be the same. Next one. You guys already heard Field of Thunder. We did that for you. The day that I corrected my son in anger, I realized the power of his love in me again, and I began to cry, asking Creator and my son for forgiveness. My son had done something wrong. You may have heard me tell this before, but it's one of the chapters in my life that I have to always keep telling people, that I was very angry at my son, and I gave him a good licking. I sent him off to bed, and then I realized that I had misjudged, and I had not led my son the way I needed to lead him, but I needed to lead him through a gentle spirit and through love. So I went to my son, and I asked him for forgiveness. And when I did that, I became more into the river of life. As we do these things, we get deeper into the river. As we begin to realize and we follow the leading of the Holy Spirit, you know, we need to remember that when we listen, what is it called? Our you know, when we listen to things in our heart and in our spirit, what's that called? Our conscience, right? I don't know, 67. Our conscience. I believe our conscience is something that God gave us. And he and in our conscience, he's always telling you when you're doing something wrong, isn't he? He always says, you shouldn't be doing this. Does he do that to you, Zach? Bill? Yeah. I mean, all of us. There's times when the Holy Spirit's in our conscience. He said, go to your conscience. Your conscience is something that is part of God's Spirit. And when we listen to our conscience and we react, then God, I believe, is honored. So listen to your conscience and allow God to flow within your heart. And keep your ears open, your supernatural ability to hear. Your conscience is the way into the Spirit. Next. So once we're in the river, like us guys, I see so many churches across North America. Everybody's in the river. Everybody's having a great time. They're worshiping, they're partying, they're doing the stuff. And sometimes they've forgotten about the people that aren't in the river. And I've seen it so many times. We get so pumped up with our worship teams. We get so pumped up with doing things a certain way within the church that we lose focus of the mandate, which is to go. To go. That's what Carry the Cure is doing. We're doing the mandate that comes from going into the river. When you go in the river, it prepares you to go and to bring the river into places where it's never been. Yeah. So we sang Warrior's Eyes. Look at those guys. Those are guys from Pekanjikum. Those are guys, aren't they beautiful? They're Canadian native kids. They're Ojibwe, and I love them so much when I see them. My eyes fill up with tears because I know the struggles that they face ahead of them because people from the river haven't done their job. So we need to pray. You know, as Bill is doing what he's doing going into Alaska, as he puts these teams together and you guys support it, expect bountiful blessing here in your church. Expect bountiful blessing as you support what's happening and expect to see Alaska change because Bill isn't doing this because it's a job. He's doing this because he wants to see a changed Alaska. How many times have you heard that from Bill's lips? I want to see a changed Alaska. And so he's going about changing Alaska in so many ways. Great guy to get behind. He's changing the title of a mountain from Suicide Peak to Breath of God or Yayongchak. Heaven's Breath. Wow! Suicide Peak, Heaven's Breath. What would you choose? And you wouldn't believe all the struggle he's had to try and win this battle. All the people that have come against him fighting for Suicide Peak? Come on! But God is leading this charge. And Bill gave us some amazing testimony. So, we're in the river. And God loves his sons and daughters that have made the river. And, yeah. So, those guys look like they're good candidates for the river, don't they? Look at those smiles, the innocence. Let's go to the next slide. So, in many of our native communities, I don't know if it's like it. I've seen a lot of struggle here in Alaska. I know in Canada, this was a village called Attawapiskat, and all these kids lived in that house, and there was a whole other group of adults that lived in the house too, two-bedroom house. And, you know, who is wise and understanding among you? Let them show it by their good life. His works in meekness and wisdom. But the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure, peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere. So we want to be able to see these people have the opportunity to get into the river. You know, there are so many of our native people still across North America that have no idea because the message of Jesus was brought through a message of cultural conversion. That said, in order for you to have my Jesus, you got to act like me. You've got to sing my worship songs. You've got to do things the way we do them here. You've got to sing all those songs that are written by, you know, all those different major groups that put out all the worship music that we all do. When in all actuality, I think if you were pure of heart and sitting down with two rocks in your underwear on the street and you were singing a song from your heart to Jesus, that's just as pure and holy to God. We try to do our best up here when we're playing, but the fact is what we need to do is we need to worship with our lives. With our lives and how we conduct ourselves. Next one. Isn't that cute? Your story is powerful. In my early days in the river, I asked my father when I pray, what should I ask God for? And my dad said, boldness to share your love. That's what those little old ladies had. They had boldness to share his love. My father was sharing the love in a political meeting when he passed over. So when he met Jesus, someone shared to him. That little old lady shared to him. When he died, he was in a political meeting, and he was telling them that they were fighting over this. The largest dump in North America was being placed in this in our community, just above our community. And they asked my father, as the elder of our community, to go in and speak about it. And instead of going in and giving them all the wisdom of an elder from Native perspective, he said, God's not happy with the way you're conducting yourself. He said, you're standing in here and you're fighting. He said, and God wants you to be at peace and to make the decision together in a good way. And that's the message that I'm bringing you today, is to make yourselves right with God. And then he took his last breath. He just died right there in that meeting. I can't think of a better way to go than to be doing what God's called him to do. And that's what my dad did. So share your story. Share your story. Share how Jesus came into your life. If you were born into a family that were Christians and you went to church and you've grown up in that, you don't just by osmosis become a Christian. You don't just by osmosis have Jesus in your life. If you're coming to church because it's what your family does, then get on the boat. Get in the river. And understand that there's a next step. You don't just get in because your family's in. You get in because you make a decision to come in. Right, Bill? Yeah. Next. We're getting near the end. There is peace in the river. If you want to know that you're in the river that God has called you to be in, and if you've accepted Jesus into your heart and you're in the river, there's not going to be a whole bunch of squabbling. There's not going to be people pointing fingers and judging one another. If you're truly in the river, then you are able to see your brother's point of view. You're able to see through God's eyes one another, and there is peace in the river. Those that fear the Lord spoke often to one another in Malachi 3:16. We speak to one another instead of about one another. That's what we need to do, right? That's probably one of the most important things I've said. Sometimes we get caught up talking about other people, and I'm guilty as anybody else. And I see it when I'm doing it, and my conscience goes, tweak. You shouldn't do that, Jonathan. You need to be speaking good things or nothing at all. It's really important that if you're in the river, that you allow your conscience to guide you. And when the enemy is trying to deceive you and saying, oh, that person, and you start thinking, oh, and then you come onto it and you open your mouth and you speak, well, don't forget that we are made in the image of God. And when we speak, we're representing God's Spirit. And if we are doing it in a bad way, then we're not representing God. We're representing who? The enemy. Don't get yourself caught in that situation of talking bad about others. Speak life. Speak life. Speak hope. Speak peace. Speak joy. Speak salvation. Welcome them into the river where there is peace. Next one. Is there another one? Come refresh yourself in the river of life. Be a witness of his love. Then, while you're in the river, you can't forget that there's people not in the river. Because that's what I'm saying. So I'm saying, we in the church, in the body of Christ, we kind of have gotten in the river, and sometimes we're just having such a good time, we forget about the people who are lonely, broken, addicted, struggling, who have never had the opportunity to have the touch of Jesus in their lives. So when we get in the river, we can't get oblivious to the fact that the world out there needs our little old ladies. It needs our young people. It needs all of us to look beyond the river and see on the shores those that we need to extend our hand to and welcome them. So we're going to finish up with the song, The River of Life. And as we play that song, I'd like everybody, just everybody that wants to, you know, say to us, I am joining you in the river. As we send Carry the Cure, Broken Walls, as we send the team into the river, we're with you through our prayers. We're with you through our love and support. And we're going to see change happen in Alaska as a result of what we're doing together, because we'll see you guys. As we present, we're going to be able to remember this moment as we see you guys. And after, as we play River of Life and you guys come down and stand with us, that will be an encouragement to us that as we go, we're going to take back what the enemy has stolen. We're going to break his lies, and we're going to reveal the truth of the love of God and his power to heal and to set our people free.
Thank you.
we're getting in the river here. Let's go. So participation is strongly encouraged. Get out of your seat and get in the river.
This is going to help us to feel that covering when things get tough and when we're pushing through stuff, then we're going to see this. We're going to feel that covering. We're going to feel your prayers. So thank you. They could dance their prayers, tap their toe inside their shoe, you know. Right, Jonathan?
Yep.
I know you guys are going to be praying for us, but Lord, we just pray that that river of God that flows from your throne, Lord, that it would flow onto every son, every daughter here, God. Lord, bless them in every area of their life, head to toe, inside out. We pray for healing, blessing, direction, wisdom, revelation, whatever is needed. Lord, we pray from your riches, from your glorious riches, Lord, let there be a river that flows from your heavenly throne unto them in Jesus' name.
Lord, we receive that. And Lord, we just pray back onto these guys. Amazing blessing, Lord. Thank you for the outpouring of your spirit, Lord. Thank you that you go before these guys and you're their rear guard coming up. Father, I declare open doors, open hearts in Jesus' name. We declare suicide be broken before them as they go. We declare, Lord, that dark places become light in Jesus' name. Salvation upon salvation
upon salvation, and we declare every bit of provision be in your hands in Jesus' name. Increase, increase, increase. And over Jonathan's wife, Lord, we thank you. We bless her for sending and releasing her husband. And Lord, we just declare a blessing over her and peace and joy as she has set him free to do what he is supposed to be doing here. We receive the gift that you imparted to us through these guys. We send them out in all power in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Bless you guys. Love you. Thank you. Thank you guys for jumping in the river. If you feel there is a drum out there, if you want to continue to give, you can do that as well. But bless you. Have a great day. So Jonathan doesn't have to take it anywhere else.
Yesterday was Zach's birthday, so there is a banner in the foyer if you would like to write a little something special to our pastor. Also, Tuesday night, Mamas of Hope happening here, 6 p.m., and then Men of Hope. You want to say something about that? Men of Hope Saturday, 8 a.m., down in the kids' classroom. This coming Saturday, 8 a.m. for the guys. Thanks.